right. So as Meredith said, I am Christy Cole. I am on staff here at Grace Church, and I do attend the Powdersville campus, and I have been here probably since our Powdersville campus was 6 months old. I came from to Powdersville as an original Powdersvillian. So if the Powdersville campus hadn't been launched, I might not have been here. And it has been an absolute pleasure for me to be able to be a part of the Azair curriculum, what we're calling biblical femininity curriculum. And so we're just really excited to be able to teach you guys tonight. So what I wanted to do is I wanted to kind of get you guys, since you don't really know who I am, I know a lot of your moms, but I don't know a lot of you. So I wanted to just kind of let you into what it might be like to look back on this ancient woman on stage as a fifth through an eighth grader. So I just want you to see that I really did used to be young. So we've got some fun pictures that I think that we're going to pull up for y'all. The first one is when I was in fifth grade, and I bet you didn't know that I started the selfie trend. And you would think that I was trying to start that first little heart trend too, but really, I bit my fingernails, and so I was really insecure, and I was just trying to cover up the fact that I had no nails. The next one is my eighth grade prom photo, and I like to call that Pepto-Bismol prom. Because I am head to toe in pink, and if you would just notice that big, nice pleather pink clutch bag, and I had shoes that matched, and then this big barrette that just kind of flopped up on top of my head. So that would be Pepto-Bismol prom in eighth grade. And then the next one, I like to call that awkward family photos. So my brother is cheesing it on the right. My sister is clueless. And, well, I look miserable to be with my family. And so I actually went through that phase where I did not want to have, you know, anything to do with my mom or my dad. And so I was so done. And the funny thing is I pulled this photo up last night or the night before last because my sister so kindly posted it on Facebook. And I said, honey, to my husband, where have we seen that face before? And it is the same face that I see from my ninth grade son. So it is coming back around. So if your moms ever tell you, you know, one day you're going to have somebody just like you, there it is. I got it. But this one is probably my favorite. I call this Hula Hoop Maven. That was my hula hooping days, which, you know, I'll just have to tell you that I was the reigning hula hoop queen. So, and do you like those wonderful jeans that are striped in the back and they are normal in the front? And that really was the trend when we were back in the 80s. So, and actually, yeah, I guess that was 80s. So, in honor of my hula hooping days, I'm going to get Shyla Perkins and her daughter to come up, and we're going to have a little hula hooping fun. So, let's just see who can really take down the reigning hula hoop queen. Ready? Oh, she's going to get serious. All right, now I don't have a lot of time, so we're gonna be doing best two out of three. Ready? Okay. Get set, go. Come on now. Woo! All right, one more time. Ready? Go. Oh, oh. One more time, last one. Ready? Oh. Hey, I tried that earlier. It doesn't work. Ready? Yeah. Go. Hey, wait! Wait! Nice. All right. Awesome. Thanks, ladies. So, Whew, that's my exercise for tonight. All right, so all of that to say, I really do know what it's like to be your age. And it's a really, really hard age. I'm really out of breath. Maybe I need to do that more. It is an awkward age. It is an age where you're really trying to figure out who you are. It is an age where you are really starting to try and separate from mom a little bit. And that starts to cause some tension because for so long, maybe mom has picked your clothes out for you. She's picked your haircuts out for you. She's told you, you know, where you were going and who you were going to hang out with. And she's arranged your play dates for you. But now, I'm still out of breath. But now, and I do exercise, but I haven't done that in a while. So it's kind of a transition time when you are really starting to try and figure out who you are. And so for me, I remember what it was like in those days. I was afraid. I was afraid of new friends. I was afraid of new schools. I was afraid of different situations. I was afraid of not fitting in. We weren't a wealthy family, and so I didn't have all the hip, trendy clothes, and so I always felt a little bit awkward. I wasn't into sports. I couldn't cheerlead because I'm super clumsy. And so sports, cheerleading, all of that was a no-no for me. I did try dancing, which, unfortunately, I should have brought some of those pictures. Those were fun. And so it's just a really hard time. And there's all kinds of insecurities about wanting to fit in, wanting to have the right friends, wanting to be in the in crowd. And so it's a difficult season as you try to learn who you are and what it means to be a woman. And so what we are doing tonight is we're going to begin to talk about how do you know who you're supposed to be? How do you know what your purpose is? How do you know what your identity is? How do you know the truth about what it means to be a girl made in the image of God? And so for us tonight, we want to start that conversation with you. We want to help you to begin to learn what that means and to help you begin to learn what it means to be made in the image of God specifically as you, not as somebody else. Because a lot of times we just want to conform or to be like everybody else so that we don't stand out, so that we don't draw attention to ourselves. And so we're going to talk about the uniqueness that is, has that God has used in, or that God, used, that God has given to you as you. And so tonight, as we move into this, I want you to know that we're just going to cover the first part of Young Women's Azair. We're going to talk about what does it mean to be created in the image of God as a girl, as a woman. And then next week and over the coming weeks, we'll talk about other aspects of that. So next week, we'll talk about how the fall impacted our ability to reflect God's image as a woman. And then we're going to talk about what it looks like to find redemption or to be redeemed and to have the image of God in us renewed or restored or redeemed. And then on the fourth week, we'll have your dads come in with you, and we will talk about the lies that we all too often believe. And so this is where I want you to know that your moms aren't that much different from you, because we're all believing lies every day too. We're all believing that we're not good enough. We're all believing that we don't fit in. We're all struggling just the same. And so where you may think that your mom is really, really different from you, she's really not. It's just different circumstances and situations that surround it. And so we're going to start to get to work through some of those lies in that last week. And we're going to have your dads here because they're super important at this stage of your life. And it's at this same stage of your life that you start to withdraw from them as you start to grow into a woman. And so it's that much more important that we put the two of you together and let them speak into you. So, all right, wow, I really am still out of breath. Okay, so how do we decide what's true? How do we know what's true? Where do we go for truth? Is there such a thing as absolute truth? We get all kinds of messages every day that tell us what it means to be a girl, what we are supposed to do, what is our purpose in life. And so here we have messages from our peers, so our friends, or our family, or we have messages from media, so television, or movies, or music, or books. And then we also have messages from just culture at large. And so everything that's going on around us, the latest trends and the latest fashions and the latest haircuts and the latest music, and all of this is speaking into our lives on a daily basis. And it's telling us all kinds of different messages. And so some days we might hear the message that life is about your happiness and you just need to do whatever makes you happy. And then there are messages that say you just need to follow your heart, or you just need to be true to who you are, or you just need to, maybe I already said this one, do whatever makes you happy, or that you get to determine whatever your own purpose in life is, that nobody can really speak into you about that but you. And so all of these messages are being shouted really at you every day, but they change all the time. And so you can look back at my hip trendy clothes that had the stripes in the back and the plain old jeans in the front, or the wings in my hair, and who knows what a mullet is? Oh, I had a mullet. And so, yeah, and what you couldn't see was it was long in the back. I just had the nice side swept bangs. And so all that we're hearing on a daily basis is always changing. And so how do we know what's really true and what's constant, and where do we go to really know who we are that's not always changing, that's not based on the latest trends? And so who knows the telephone game? Oh, yeah. Okay. I was so scared to use that illustration last night because, I mean, I grew up playing the telephone game, and I thought, surely a game this ancient they wouldn't know, but I was really, really excited to see that y'all do know the telephone game. And so you know that the premise of the telephone game is that you have one person who is sitting, or who starts the statement. And so I might say, my eyes are green. And so it just goes down the line and down the line and down the line and down the line until all of a sudden, the very end, somebody says, the sky is blue. And it's so distorted and it's so different as it's gone down the line that it doesn't even begin to reflect what was originally said. And so the only way that you could really know what the first person said was to go back to the first person to begin with and hear what they said. Who spoke the line or whatever, to the statement to begin with? And so for us tonight, the same is true. If we want to know what's true, we need to go back to the very beginning of the line, to the very beginning, to the person who originally spoke the truth. And so that's where we're headed. What do you think is the way we find truth today? Who can tell me? Come on. Do you know what's truth? Come on, moms. The Bible, right? Okay, so what is the Bible really? That is God's words written out for all of us today. So the Bible is God's word to us. And it goes back to the very, 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 very beginning. And so the Bible is our authority. And that means it gets to say what is good and what is wrong and what is true in our lives. And it gets to govern and to guide us because it is God's very words written out to us. And so there are a couple of passages in Scripture that tell us about God's word. The first one is 2 Timothy 3, 16 through 17. And in this passage, Paul says, all Scripture is inspired by God and is useful to teach us what is true and to make us realize what is wrong in our lives. It corrects us when we are wrong, and it teaches us to do what is right. God uses it being Scripture, it being the Bible, God uses it to prepare and equip His people to do every good work. And so that pretty much says a lot. It tells me what's wrong. It tells me what's right. It tells me what's true. It tells me that God uses it to correct me and to guide me and to tell me what's right and to teach me and to prepare me for every good work, for everything that God has called me to do. And then a second passage was actually written by Peter. And this one is in 2 Peter 1, 20 and 21. So 2 Peter 1, 20 and 21. And Peter says, above all, you must realize that no prophecy in Scripture, so no truth, no foretold truth or something that was to come, no prophecy in Scripture ever came from the prophet's own understanding or from human initiative. No, those prophets were moved by the Holy Spirit and they spoke from God. And so even though there were men actually writing the Bible, they were writing out God's very words. And so that passage is saying that God used these men to speak through them and to write His words out to us. And so the Bible is God's unchanging truth with absolute authority in our lives. It is God's unchanging truth with absolute authority. So if we want to know what it means to be a girl, if we want to know what it means to be a godly young woman, then where better to go than to go to God's word? Because we've already learned that it tells us everything we need to know for life. And so let's talk about a little bit about what God's word may have to say about being a woman. So do you think that God might have actually created women for a purpose? Or did He just randomly happen to create us one day? Or is it possible that He actually had something specific in mind when He created women and when He created men? In Genesis 1:27 is where we start to get our first clue into why God created us as women. He says, so God created human beings in His own image. In the image of God, He created them. Male and female, He created them. And so the very first thing that we see is that we were created in God's image to reflect attributes of His character. That's what it means to be created in the image of God, that we get to reflect Him to the world. And then He also created, we see in that same passage, male and female, equal in value, but different in form and function. And so you don't have to look hard to see that girls and boys just look different from one another. And so God created that way, and it is a good thing. It is not something that we have to be worried about as we grow into our bodies as women, that is something that God designed, and it may feel awkward, and it may make you insecure, but that actually was God's good plan. I spit. That was actually God's good plan. I mean, you might as well just call a spade a spade. So that was actually God's good plan from the beginning. And so He created male and female, equal but different in form and different in function. And he also created us with a purpose. And we see that purpose in Genesis 1:28 when he said, "Then God blessed them and said, 'Be fruitful and multiply, fill the earth and govern it. Reign over the fish in the sea, the birds in the sky, and all the animals that scurry along the ground.'" And so as creator, God said, "Okay, I have created you as men and as women, different in form, different in function, to reign over the earth, to make the world a better place, to rule over the creatures, and to be a blessing to the world." He created us in the image of God to reflect the character of God, and he created us to glorify him or to worship him by representing him to the world and making the world a better place. But God goes further. He also gives us as women a specific calling. And so for that, we will go again to Scripture. And so when we say that God gave us a specific calling, a calling is God's unchanging, God-given purpose for all women. And that is a fill-in-the-blank in your book if you are taking notes. It is the calling is the unchanging, God-given purpose for all women. And so in Genesis 2:18, we see a little glimpse into what God's calling is for women. And so in Genesis 2:18, it says, "Then the Lord God said, 'It is not good for the man to be alone. I will make a helper who is just right for him.'" And the word that is in the original language is, and if you don't know that, the Bible has been translated from the original language. And so the original Hebrew, which is the language that it was first written in, the word there was actually azer kenegdo, which is where we get azer from. And so azer kenegdo means helper or helper suitable. But we also have azer as a helper or an essential counterpart to another. And so that's another fill in the blank for you. Azer is a helper or an essential counterpart to another. And what our purpose is in being an azer is that God created us as women who would find and meet need in the context of relationships with others. And so as we are in relationship with one another, with our parents, with our friends, with our siblings, with our teachers, that our calling as one who God created to be a helper is to find and meet need within relationships. And so an azer is actually someone who is for you. She is for you. She's your cheerleader. She's your champion. She's one who wants to help you accomplish your goal, help you become all who God created you to be. And so an azer is someone who is for you. And this is a specific way that God created women to reflect his character. 16 times in Scripture, and this is really neat. 16 times in Scripture, God calls himself our Azer. And so not only did you get created to be an Azer, but God is saying, "I am your Azer. I am the one who is for you. I am your helper. I am the one who sees and meets your need in the relationship with me." And so Azer is a strong, strong word. It is a strong calling on our lives as women. And so God, in all of his gloriousness, decided that he wouldn't stop there. He would allow us to reflect his character in our own unique ways. And so we've got a slide that we'll pull up. And at the top of the slide, you see your calling. And your calling, again, is to be an azer, to be an essential counterpart, as one who finds and meets need in relationship with others. But you get to live that out through your own individuality. And so that includes your personality, whether you are funny or serious. It includes your strengths and your talents. So whether you are an athlete or a cheerleader or creative or in theater, or you can sing really well, or you're the smart one who likes to read books all the time, and it includes all of your experiences in life. So maybe you've been adopted. Or maybe you have a step-parent, or maybe you're an only child, or maybe you've got lots of brothers and sisters. But all of that goes into your individuality, and you get to live out your calling unique as you. And then the other side of the triangle, oh, actually, before we go any further, we have, who's seen the movie Tangled? Okay, so in the movie Tangled, we've got Rapunzel, who has been locked away in this big tower, and her wicked mother figure, who has kidnapped her from her real parents, has told her all the world is ugly and mean, and if they ever really know who she is, then it'll be a terrible thing. And so, you know, she's been locked away in this tower for forever, and all of a sudden, Eugene Fitzherbert comes and he rescues her and he takes her away, and she's tormented as she's starting to leave the tower and leave her mother, and she's so afraid. She's afraid of being known. She's afraid of people finding her out. She's afraid of what it'll do to her mother. And so then they find themselves in trouble. And here's where we come in on our movie clip. So let's just take a look and see what happens. And so one of the things that maybe she was the most afraid of was she was the most afraid of maybe being known, maybe being exposed in her uniqueness and her differences and the fact that she's different. She doesn't fit in. And all of a sudden, she is seeing that the uniqueness that she had might actually be a way that she is able to help, that it might actually be a benefit for somebody. And so it really was her difference, her individuality that helped her to be a benefit, to be a blessing. And so the individuality is everything that makes you who you are. Now, it is also your season of life. And so season is just, here's another fill in the blank for you. Oh, we actually missed one. Your individuality is your personal uniqueness. It's what makes you you. So if you guys did not get that one. And then your season is a period of time when circumstances change. So that's your season. And so a season for you might be when you're moving from fifth grade into sixth grade and you go from elementary school to middle school, or you go from eighth grade to high school, or you go from Fusion to 24/7, or you go from 24/7 to Forge, or maybe it is you move to a different state and so you've got a whole different school and a whole different set of friends to get used to, but it's a period of time when circumstances change. And so God also gave women different capacities, or a capacity is an ability, a built-in ability to reflect a characteristic of God. So that's another fill-in-the-blank for you. A capacity is a built-in ability to reflect a characteristic of God. And he gave women three different capacities. And here is another fill-in-the-blank for you. Invite, nurture, and partner. So God gave women three different capacities to reflect his character. One is to invite, to nurture, and to partner. And so we're going to move real quickly so we can give you guys some time to meet with your moms and talk through some of this. But we're going to move into just giving you some examples of what invite, nurture, partner might look like. And so what I would want to say to you is that, moms, if you have not done our biblical femininity curriculum, we're not going to go super in-depth into the scriptural basis for all of these because we just don't have time. But it is in depth in the book. And so I would invite you to pick that up on your way out the door so that you know how to engage this material with your daughters. But to invite, as God invites, is to welcome others into an unselfish relationship. To welcome others into an unselfish relationship. So again, to invite is to welcome others into an unselfish relationship. And so there, I'm going to give you some examples. There are lots of different ways at your age that you can be inviting or that you can invite another. You can befriend a new student at school. Or maybe you can go over to the kid who is sitting all by herself at the lunchroom table and invite her to join you and your friends. You can include everyone else in your conversation. Instead of being exclusive and having inside jokes and inside conversations that make other people feel not a part of, you can invite people into your conversation and use words and language and topics that other people can enjoy. Or you can even ask them questions, ask them to participate in the conversation. You can also invite others into your life in your own small groups. And so some of that looks like letting yourself be known. Just like Rapunzel was able to let Eugene Fitzherbert know that she had hair that glows, you can say a little bit about who you are and what makes you you and what your struggles are and what your strengths are. inviting also has something to do with modesty. And so you are coming into an age where you get to start choosing your own clothes. And that becomes a real point of tension between mom and daughter a lot of times. Because a lot of times what's in fashion is not something that really might be appropriate for a girl that is reflecting an attribute of God, that is reflecting the character of God. And it's more about drawing attention to yourself than about drawing attention to God who is in you. And so modesty, though, is really an attitude of the heart before it really is an issue of your clothing. Modesty, true modesty, is to love another person with your appearance. It is to love another person with your attitude. It is to love another person with your words. It is to love another person with your actions. It is being a there you are person instead of a here I am person. And so when you walk into a room, you're not like, woohoo, the party's here. I am the hula hoop maven. It is more of, oh, I've been so wanting to see you. I haven't seen you in so long. How are you doing today? Yeah, see, that was like, ooh, the attention's on me now. So, but it really is. It is being others-focused instead of self-focused. And that's really hard in this stage of life because we're so insecure and we're so scared that people will see us and not like us. And so, I'll tell you just a quick story, and then we'll move on to the last two. There was a woman who I remember talking to, and a new woman had moved into their neighborhood, and she was walking down the street with her young daughter and a baby in the stroller, and she had her two daughters in the yard with her, and she said, you know, you really should go and invite that girl over to the house because she's new in the neighborhood, and they may not know anybody. They may not have anybody to play with. So why don't you girls go and invite them over? And the mom said it was really awkward. It was really hard. The conversation wasn't super easy, but that, you know, it was really about loving these people by inviting them into your lives. And so sometimes inviting isn't easy. Sometimes it's going to be really uncomfortable. And sometimes people might make fun of you for the people that you include or the people that you hang around or the people that you start to talk to or defend somebody that's being made fun of. And so it might cost you something, but that is what God does for us. He invites us into an unselfish relationship with Him. And so the next one is nurture. And nurturing is caring for another and helping them to be who God desires them to be. So nurturing is caring for others and helping them be who God desires them to be. And so here's some examples for you on nurturing. Nurturing looks like speaking truth to other people, not just going along with what they say, but really telling them the truth. And sometimes, again, that might make you unpopular instead of popular. It might make you more unpopular to not compromise on truth, but to really say, you know, I really don't think that we should go and do that. I really don't think that you should sneak into the bathroom and put on that lipstick that your mom told you not to put on. I really don't think you should sneak in and change your clothes in the bathroom and that your mom into that outfit that your mom told you not to wear. I really think that maybe you shouldn't do that. And it is being bold enough to love another and to speak the truth into their lives and help them be who God desires them to be, or to teach someone how to do something that comes really easily to you. So again, hula hoop maven, might be able to just go and teach somebody how to hula hoop, you know, or to rollerblade, or to snowboard, or to skateboard, or, you know, maybe I've got a skill that somebody else might want to know, or maybe they're struggling with their homework. Maybe they need some help, and I'm really good in that subject, and so maybe I can go offer my help to them. And they may not ask me, but it's about being observant and allowing them to, and allowing myself to go over and to give myself to them. And so I can remember cooking dinners for my parents. I really loved to make them food. And so my dad had this this love for something called tuna melts, and it was just, you take a bunch of tuna and you mash it up with some mayonnaise and some salt and pepper, and you slather it on some bread, and you slather some cheese on top of it, and you throw it in the oven and let it toast and get all melty. And that just made his day. It brought all kinds of joy to him. It brought life to him. It helped him to feel cared for. And it's not always just about cooking, but that is something that you can do for your parents or for your siblings. You can take some time to do something unselfish for somebody else. And then our last one is partnering. And partner means to bring your unique strengths to help others accomplish their goals. So to partner means to bring your unique strength to help others accomplish their goals. You can partner with your parents by doing extra chores, not just what they asked you to do. Or by doing those chores with a good attitude so that it's not World War III in the house when they come home and see you haven't done it yet. Or you can offer to babysit your younger brother and sister because you know that your parents might need a date night. They might need to be able to go out and have some fun for just themselves. Or maybe you can even offer that to a mom, a single mom down the street who is always taking care of her kids and she doesn't have anybody to help her. And so these are ways that you can start to help other people accomplish their goals. Maybe you can, what are some other examples? Oh, handling your responsibilities in a timely and cheerful manner. Be ready to walk out the door for school on time. I mean, I don't know, but we always have World War III in my house on Sunday mornings trying to get out the door. Have your stuff ready to go, and you know what time you're leaving. Those are ways that you can partner with your parents by handling your own deal, handling your own responsibilities. It makes the whole work better. All right, so as we wrap up, I want you to know that all of these capacities require that you are observant of other people. It requires you to look outside of your own world, outside of your own self, to see where areas where somebody might have a need and to be willing to move in and initiate, not just wait on them to ask you, but to be willing to move in and initiate, to offer your help. So as we go, I just want to remind you that God created you for a specific purpose. He created you to reflect His image and to make the world a better place. But we don't always do that, because sometimes it is all about me wanting my way. And so next week, when you come in, we're going to talk about the different ways in which we try to get things to happen our way. So Meredith's going to come up, I'm going to pray, and then she's going to give you guys some further direction. We went a little bit long, but we want to give you guys some time to meet and talk. All right, let me pray for us. Lord, thank you so much for this opportunity to just meet with these young girls and their daughters. And when I think about all the faces that are in the room and the ways in which you have created each girl uniquely to reflect attributes of your character and to make the world a better place, I get really excited to think that if they could just catch the vision, if they could just see who you created them to be and not have to hide and not have to conform and not have to try to fit in, but to really be who you created them to be so that they can fulfill your calling on their lives, I just get really excited because I know how it could make the world a better place. And so I pray that as they move into time with their moms, that you would really help them come together and learn about what this means to be a young girl created in the image of God. So just pray that you would make that a sweet time with them. And we thank you. We love you. Amen.